When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Paul Howard, good evening to you. How are you?
Good evening. I'm great. Really good. Thanks.
You have picked a fabulous favourite book, which is one that I really enjoyed, more so than the movie version. It just kind of got into the nitty-gritty a bit more, and we'll get into that in a minute. Your honourable mention is worth going to as well, and your current reading is one I have no idea about. So we'll get to them all in due course. But your favourite book of all time?
Oh, Trainspotting. Trainspotting by Irvin Welsh. It's the book that... changed my life in many ways, and I don't say that lightly. I had no interest in fiction, in writing fiction. I had no interest in reading fiction until I read Trainspotting.
Wow, are you serious? Fiction just wasn't your thing?
No, it was. I mean, it might well have been my thing, but the Irish education system knocked it out of me. I remember...
That and the Mo Kinnealach.
The Mo Kinnealach, sorry. Peg Sayers. And it is that thing. I mean, I read Peg Sayers a couple of years ago on a trip to the Blasket Islands and absolutely loved it. I read it in English and I thought, why didn't they teach it to us like this at school? You know, it was kind of the way books were taught. And that was my experience with novels. I won't say I didn't read any good books at school. I mean, we had Huckleberry Finn on the course, and we had, I liked Animal Farm, but in my Leaving Cert year, we did Persuasion by Jane Austen. And it was so... I'm trying to think why I hated it so much. I mean, I read it about 2 years ago. I reread it and still hated it. And but as a...
Apologies to Miss Austen's ghost.
As a 16-year-old kid growing up in a council estate in Ballybrack, it didn't speak to me at all. It was just so far remote from my experience. You know, this sort of, you know, these women in the 1700s clucking over a letter, and whether it was a good letter or a bad letter, and they write a letter back, and the letter of thanks that comes in response to their letter of thanks isn't what they thought it was going to be.
No, I mean, I have to enough. Say, you couldn't have chosen a more polar opposite book to Persuasion.
Well, that's
your favorite.
The thing. So I came out of school after reading Persuasion, just thinking that novels just aren't my thing. For me, they were a very sort of bourgeois kind of thing. And that's the fault of whoever prescribed Jane Austen for the Leaving Cert. But then, so I was out of school about 5 years, and I remember... my brother gave me a copy of Trainspotting, and he said, "Read this." And I said, "What is it?" And he said, "It's about working class life in Edinburgh in the late 1980s, early 1990s." And I remember I was getting on a train to Sligo, so however many hours that was, and I started reading it. And I remember it's written in phonetics. A lot of it is written in phonetics, so it's "A canny de that." So it's A-H. And then C-A-N-N-A-E.
You have to concentrate a lot more, don't
really?
You? I mean, I remember when I read it going, you almost need a lesson in Scottish to kind of get through the first book, but then you get into it as the novel progresses.
I remember after the first, it's short stories, and they're kind of loosely knotted, and they make up a novel together. And the first sort of two or three pages, the first story is called The Skag Boys. And... the first two or three pages, I said, I can't do this. This is just too difficult. I'm having to focus too much. And after about 10 pages, I was actually thinking in Scottish. You know, I was kind of thinking in Edinburgh phonetics. It's an extraordinary book. But it was about a world I understood. I'm not saying I understood the world of, you know, heroin addicts and alcoholics and wasters and, you know, winos and thieves and everything, but I certainly understood it a lot more than I understood the world of Jane Austen and Captain Wentworth and people like this. But I mean, I read it all the way to Sligo, and I was doing an interview in Sligo, and I was excited about getting back on the train so I could get 3 more hours of Trainspotting into me. It was incredible.
What is incredible about Trainspotting is that it brings in pretty much all of the ills of the period into one book. It has heroin abuse. It has parts of it relate to AIDS, crime, social deprivation. I mean, you wouldn't go there to cheer yourself up looking at it in principle.
No.
But there are elements of the characters that you really, well, some of them, that you want to succeed. I mean, you want to see Spud get out, don't you?
Yeah. And then there's a guy called Tommy in it who, you know, he's the only one of the group who hasn't tried heroin, and he tries it once and he ends up getting HIV, and then it turns to AIDS. And it's the first AIDS death, the only AIDS death in the book. And it's of somebody who was only a sort of casual heroin user. And so they're all fighting. That's the great thing about it. You're pulling for them in so many ways, you know, even though they're complete and utter wastrels, apart from Begbie. Like Begbie is this terrifying character in it who's, you know, kind of has the moustache, the white socks and the slip-on shoes, the skin-tight trousers, likes Rod Stewart. Like he's a cliche in so many ways, but he's a psychopath. And like he does things like, if you've seen the film, you know, he's in the pub and just they're up on a balcony and he just throws one of those big paneled beer glasses over his shoulder and it hits somebody down below and cracks their head open. And then he goes down as the peacemaker demanded, who threw that glass? And to read that bit in the book, It's such a brilliant piece of writing. But there's one, I mean, I've read Trainspotting because, like I said, they're short stories. So I've probably gone back to it 50 or 60 times over the year. I could go back and read any particular story if I was in a certain mood.
Yeah.
There's one story, the character Mark Renton, who's played by Ewan McGregor in the film. They just have this really interesting background. I think it was the dad was a Catholic and the mother was a Protestant, or maybe the other way around. So he supports Hibs, which is the Catholic club, and his brother Billy supports Hearts. And so they've kind of grown up in the same house with completely different identities. Like they've chosen, you know, like it'd be like in the North, you know, somebody in the house being a Catholic and a Protestant. And Billy volunteers for the British Army and he goes to Northern Ireland and he gets killed, you know, after, you know, a week of service or something like that by a bomb in South Armagh. And there's a story, you don't read that bit, you just read the story of the funeral. And the funeral is, you know, he's grieving for his brother, but he doesn't know how to show it in anything other than giggling. And all of the uncles are trying to be patient with him, but he's laughing and cracking jokes at the funeral. And eventually, you know, the side of the family that's the loyalist side of the family, you know, like threatens to give him a beating. And anyway, the scene ends with him, making love to the widow. And it is absolutely chilling the way it's written. And I've read, I think I must have read that story 50 times. It's so graphic and so grim and so dark, but hilarious as well.
Does the film hold up though, Paul? Because, you know, is it one of your go-to films?
Oh, yeah.
Given that it's your go-to book?
I mean, the film holds up because it did its own thing. I mean, there's something really magical about that film and it's, you can't divorce it from the times, you know, that it was the music, you know, the music is just so well chosen. It's brilliantly directed, brilliantly cast. And they did their own thing with the film. The film's actually, the film's pretty dark, but it's definitely not as dark as the book. There was a stage adaptation of the book, which is really, really dark, which is more like the book. But it was one of those rare books that you could say that about, that the film, I enjoyed the film just as much and it didn't ruin it for me.
Your honourable mention is one that, I have to say, took me by surprise. I had to kind of go into a bit more detail in the research than I normally would. Me Cheetah, the autobiography. Now, it wasn't about Johnny Mueller or anyone else who was starring in the films about Tarzan, but it was actually Cheetah the chimpanzee. Who is he still alive? I mean, he did live to a great age, from my reading of it.
Yeah, he did, or she, as is revealed in the book. I read this at the same time as I was writing Triggs, the autobiography of Roy Keane's dog, and so it really spoke to me for that reason. There's just that conceit of an animal sitting down to write their autobiography, but it's a really really moving book. It's written in the kind of breathless, gossipy style of a sort of Hollywood memoir. So it's that sort of Hollywood golden age, you know. So he's drinking cocktails with David Niven, or Niv as he calls him, like, you know, and then he goes all the way back to the silent age as well. And there's a wonderful moment where he/she almost drowns on Harold Lloyd's golf course, and Harold Lloyd apparently had a green, was made to look like a green, but it was actually a pond on his golf course. People would hit their balls and the balls would disappear, but they were kind of going underneath this fake green, which was all water, and he nearly drowns in that. But really, it's about, there's all the gossipy stuff he's talking about, you know, Bogart and Errol Flynn and, you know, Joan Crawford, and the stuff about them is brilliant and it's scandalous. But the real centre of the book, the heart of the book, is his relationship with Johnny Weissmuller, who played Tarzan. And it's really heartbreaking. It's the only book that's ever made me cry.
Wow, really?
I cried and cried when I read. There's a moment, I don't want to ruin it for anyone who might be about to get it. And by the way, Me Cheetah was on the Booker long list. It's a book of real literary quality as well as being hilariously funny. But towards the end, they get separated, and Cheetah gets sold off to a traveling circus, and Johnny Weissmuller goes, you know, loses everything, is bankrupt, and ends up married. He ends up living in Palm Springs. And there's this sort of 20, 30 year period where Cheetah's pining for Johnny Weissmuller. And he describes his feeling. He said, "It's like my heart has tinnitus." That's how he describes the feeling of pining for him. And then there's a moment at the end. He was scared of water. Chimpanzees don't like water and they can't swim. And there's a moment at the end where...
It didn't help when you're inside your man's pond, the sounds of it.
Yeah. Johnny Weissmuller whipped him out of the pond, and that was the relationship. But there's a moment at the end where Johnny Weissmuller is in a home and he's in a wheelchair and he has Alzheimer's, and Cheetah's brought in and he's absolutely no idea what he's doing there. And then he looks across and he sees Johnny Weissmuller in the wheelchair, and Johnny Weissmuller brings him into the pool. And he's not scared of water, and he swims with him. Oh my God! Like I'm filling up.
And this all happened. This is a real story.
Well, I did read Johnny Weissmuller's autobiography, or a biography of him, which was, I think, it was written by his children afterwards. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff is obviously based on real events. But the, you know, he at the end, Cheetah talks about how the human race. He said, like, who are you really? You are the omnicidal. You kill everything. And then he says, but if I believe in you, I believe in you because of him. Oh my God. It's just,
it's getting me.
Amazing.
It's getting me.
Just an amazing account of an animal's relationship with a human being.
Did he have
so
any
beautiful.
Comment on Johnny Weissmuller's loincloth that would have appeared alongside him for many years? Finally, Paul, your last book and the one you're currently reading is Our London Lives by Christine Dwyer Hickey. Not familiar with it? Give us a quick synopsis.
Well, I tell you what, I'm glad we're talking about this. I'm glad I'm reading this at the moment. I've just finished it, actually, because for me, it's the book of the year. And, you know, for years I've been saying this. I don't know why Christine Dwyer Hickey isn't spoken about in the same breath as Sally Rooney, because I think she's an exceptional writer. This book, I think this is, you know, I hesitate to say it's her masterpiece, because she's written several masterpieces. But it's a story of two people, two Irish teenagers who go to London. One is called Millie, and one is called Pip. And Pip is a professional boxer, and with a fledgling alcohol problem. And Millie is pregnant and is going to London to escape the judgment of rural Ireland. And they meet up. They have a brief romance, which doesn't go anywhere, but it follows their lives across several decades. So, like, you know, there's all sorts of moments in it that you remember from the news, like the Guildford Four are released at one point. Then it goes right the way up to the Grenfell Tower fire. But we zip back and forward in time, and I love the way it's structured. But beautifully written and just wonderfully drawn characters, including the men. You know, it's a funny thing, like men often get credit for writing women well, and it's often commented upon that, you know, such as writes women really well, but women don't get enough credit for writing men well. And Sally Rooney, in her book Intermezzo, her current book, writes men really well. And Christine Dwyer Hickey, the characters are just so brilliantly drawn in it.
Well, it is definitely one that's recommended as a stocking filler if the other part of you in your life is into books, as no doubt is Don't Look Back in Anger, the brilliantly titled latest Ross O'Carroll Kelly book written by Paul Howard, who has picked those three books for us. Paul, happy Christmas,
happy Christmas to you
and to Ross and everyone else, and thanks for joining us in The Hard Shoulder.
Thanks so much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.